Thank you very much, everybody, for coming. Appreciate you making your way out here to show our appreciation for Rabbi Amster and all that he did for the yeshiva over his 18 years here. Over the 10 years of my life, 10 plus years that I had the opportunity to spend with Rabbi Amster pretty much day in and day out, the one word to describe what I saw him accomplish and everything that he did was clarity. I saw whether he's involved in giving shiur, whether he was involved in Musar Shmuzin, whether he was involved in giving general Eitza advice to his Talmidim, whether it was in his role as Mashkiach when he would advise his Talmidim to act appropriately. Even in my last few years here when I was working in the office and I saw and dealt with him as the registrar for the college accreditation, it was very clear that everything that he stood for was clarity and gaining truth from that clarity. In truth, the Mesilas Yesharim says that this is the purpose of our creation. It says, Yisod HaChasidus V'Shorash HaAvoda HaTmimahu She'is Bar V'Yisam Yitzhez Lada Machavosa Ba'olama. That the essence of Chasidus and Avodas Hashem is that it should be clear and true to us what our purpose is in this world, what our requirements are in this world. Rabbi Amster wore many hats in this yeshiva. He accomplished many different things. I'm not even going to begin to start talking about them because I'm going to fail in reaching the actual accomplishments. But in everything that he did, he strove and worked towards truth and having a clarity in the truth of what he did. I think that we could all use this, look at the living example that we had in our midst and try to help ourselves strive towards an appreciation for the truth and the implementation of gaining clarity towards that truth in our daily lives. Our first speaker today is going to be a Talmud who had many years to sit by Rabbi Amster and learn and gain from him. I call upon Ellie Davidson to say a few words.
Roshos Rabbi Kohn, the Anhala, Chashev Rabbanim. As I was jotting down memories of Rabbi Amster, I noticed a common reoccurring theme. Rabbi got us to believe in ourselves. In the first parak of Pirkei Avos, Hillel says that we should learn from Aaron HaKohen to love and run after peace, love people and bring them closer to Hashem. The Rambam explains that if it was brought to Aaron's attention that Reuven didn't have Avera, he'd befriend him, show him love, and spend extra time with him. Reuven would conclude that the only logical explanation for Aaron befriending him was because Aaron viewed him as a good person. The result of this is that Reuven would decide to live up to that status and do tshuva. It seems that the mere knowledge that someone views me as a good person can enable me to view myself the same way. Like Aaron HaKohen, Rebbe believed in all of us and helped us believe in ourselves. I remember Rebbe would come running after me to make sure every day that I understood shiur. Sometimes if I didn't have a Bekiyas Chavrus in the afternoons, he would sit there the whole afternoon for 3 hours straight, going over step after step after step. He never gave up after me. Even when I gave up on a sugya, he would never let me fall out. I remember he used to be shol etza for me. It's like to, you know, ask me like, hey, how do you think we should do this thing in cheer? You know, it seems like the guys aren't so into it. What do we do about that? Or some random question. Like he needed my help. I felt like his closest Talmud. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people in the room right now that are probably feel the same way. And the truth is that Rebbe made all of us feel like that. The truth is that we all were because Rebbe had his way of making us all feel so important. He never said any chidushim in shir. It was always our questions, our answers. If someone was visiting yeshiva and sat in shir, he'd probably think Rebbe was ignorant. Because Rebbe never said anything. It was always whatever we said, he would just repeat it. But Rebbe didn't care about looking good. He just wanted us to realize our ability to say chidushim. Except for one time that I could remember, Rebbe never directly answered any of my questions. Instead, he'd help me weigh out the pros and cons and leave the decision up to me. That one time was when I asked him to start dating early. He was very quick to say no. Needless to say, I didn't listen to him. How could I? After all the years he spent empowering me to trust my own judgment, how could I listen to him? I remember just a few weeks before his Patira being hounded by Rebbe about when we're going to get together to catch up. Now at that point, as we all know, he was very weak and hardly made it to yeshiva to start with. So I hesitated to approach him unless it was something that was very important. I could shoot the breeze with anybody else. But to Rebbe, shooting the breeze was everything. Every mundane part of my life was important to him, and all he wanted was that we should all realize the same thing. These stories weren't just one-time occurrences. They happened every day. Hashem should help us continue to incorporate into ourselves and to pass on to others these lessons that Rebbe taught us, and it should be his chus to his neshama. Yehi zichro baruch.
Our next speaker will be Nosson Tzvi Sepulitz, Rabbi Nosson Tzvi Sepulitz.
When I was 16 years old, and I was sort of struggling through this high school and that high school, and you know, and the other high school, and at one point, my father brought me to speak with Rabbi Cohen. And maybe Rabbi Cohen had an Eitzah for me, you know, as he had for many people. Well, clearly, he may have had an Eitzah or may not, but nothing really came out of that meeting directly. But many years later, when I came to yeshiva here, Rabbi Cohen said he didn't remember the meeting too clearly. He didn't remember me that well. It had been many years later. He said the only thing that he remembered was that it was very clear, exceedingly clear, that I was not interested in anyone's help. And a lot of times the trait that a person has doesn't necessarily change that much over the years. Some people have that mida in them. They, for whatever reason, they're more impervious to suggestions and outside influence. They want to do things themselves. Like any mida can have pros and cons. But one thing I have to say about Rabbi Amster, which I shared with the Amsters and with some friends and other people, is that I think I can honestly say that he was the only person that I can recall in decades that was able to successfully give me mussar that I took. So I think that's a tremendous chiddush that he was able to, for me, for someone with my personality. I think the truth is, to be able to give mussar to anyone nowadays that they would take is a tremendous chiddush. To be even willing to offer mussar to anyone is a tremendous chiddush. Unless you're just someone who doesn't get people and just tells people, you know, things without any calculation or contemplation. I remember on specific occasions where I would be speaking to Rabbi Amster about whatever topic, usually things involved with other people, interactions, chavrusas, relationships, whatever the case may be, or my own personal things. And, you know, at a certain point in discussion, he would say, you know, well, you think you're so great in that area, or maybe you should do this. Or sometimes it'll be in a sharp way, sometimes not, depending on the situation, but I never was resentful of it. I was never resentful of it, and I thought about it. Why was I never resentful, and why was I makabelit? And I think the reason is because it was so clear in conversation with him that it was all about you. It had nothing to do with him. Nothing he ever said to a Talmud seemed to come from his own negius. He didn't seem to have negius. He was 24/7 available for the Talmidim. People, everyone talks about how you could just go over. People would go over and speak to him. They would ask to talk to him. Rebbe, you have a minute. Put down whatever he was doing at any time. Hardly ever pushed you off. And then he would sit with you for 2 hours as if he had nothing else to do, despite all the hats he wore in the yeshiva, like Yaakov mentioned. So when you're dealing with somebody like that, that everything, his whole life and his whole being is given over to his Talmidim, it's so clear that it's about you and it's not about him, that it's just almost like the two of you are analyzing the problem together. And if he gives us a critical suggestion that you might otherwise bristle back and wonder why this person is giving me advice that's unwanted, you realize that he's just there to help you. And this was a very big loss for me, because as we all can understand, it's important in life to have mentors who can guide us and point us in the right direction. I mean, the other rabbeim in the yeshiva and other people I'm close to have provided tremendous service and guidance in life, and it doesn't take away from them at all. Maybe they were too afraid to take the chance, but this was something that I really missed in Rabbi Amster, and I'm sure other people could relate, that he was not afraid to speak to a Talmud, to give him a little bit of reproach or guidance that he needed in order to grow. More specifically, when I think about Rabbi Amster Shmuzin and the Torah and Musar concepts that he gave over on a semi-weekly basis, or also during the Shabbos meals sometimes, those were always a little haphazard in Shabbos day meal. But when Rabbi Amster would give a Shmuzer, he would say a Dvar Torah, it was, I don't know if it was 99% or 100% of the time, was focused on being sensitive to other people. Every single shmooze he ever gave, there may have been an exception, but basically every shmooze he ever gave was another sensitivity, or was a sensitivity of relationship with Hashem, but typically it was a sensitivity of our midos and of relationship and understanding other people and of the impact that our actions or our thoughts have, subtlety upon subtlety upon subtlety. A person who is so focused and dedicated to giving over to others and to understanding Talmidim, literally all the Torah that he gave over, that he wanted to give over, that he, the insights that he saw in Chazal were insights that could help us in not perfecting ourselves, but just another slight, small step of growth that was so important to him. And it's, if you think about it, and if you know him, it's really what he was all about. This type of Torah that he gave over was the type of Torah that he lived and that he wanted us to pick up, and was the advice that he gave us and the insight that he brought when we would speak to him. I mean, there's really so much that we could say about Rabbi Amster. It could go on and on. I just wanted to share these few thoughts that were very specific and personal to me and that I think others could relate to. And may we always remember his memory and not be afraid to think about who he was and what we lost. Because I think sometimes in this generation, we become a little desensitized or oversensitized, and we're afraid to think about loss or about to be in touch with feelings about loss. This is really a whole separate topic that I wasn't going to get into, and I'm not going to get into, but I think it's important to not be afraid to think about what a loss represents and what it is for us, and to think about the lessons that we learned from him, and to take them with us always, and it should be as close for his neshama.
I just wanted to mention before that I didn't mention, and I want to take this opportunity to mention, that over the 8 or so months since Rabbi Amster's Patira, there have been countless times that I've been sitting with Rabbi Cohen discussing different issues or challenges we're facing in the yeshiva, where we have to make a decision, where instinctively Rabbi Cohen almost has to stop himself from saying, let's go ask Rabbi Amster. Rabbi Amster was the one with that guidance, with that clarity, with that appreciation for making the proper decision that we turn to so often. Our next speaker, I'm not sure if he's the final speaker, but our next speaker will be the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Shai Akon.
Just a comment on that last comment. If you know how difficult it is for me to listen to anybody, you can appreciate what that really meant in terms of the advice and the wisdom and the insight that we all became used to and maybe even took for granted hearing from Rabbi Amster, Zichrono Livracha. I was alluded to by Reb Nosson Tzvi just a moment ago that a gathering like this really is difficult because, in a sense, forgive me, it opens up wounds that maybe we're healing somewhat, to start to think again and again, and the loss and the tragedy, and it is painful. But on the other hand, the purpose is lessons to be learned, lessons to be revisited, chizuk to be gained, and that, of course, is a schus for the neshama, and we know that especially during the first year, whatever can be done for an aliyah, for a neshama that leaves this world, is a tremendous schus, not only for the neshama, for those people who participate in that aliyah. So with that in mind, we're gathered here together. And the truth of the matter is, to accomplish that, it takes the need for very specific focus. Rashi brings at the end of the parsha that the tzitzis on the arba kanfos, on the four corners of the beged, are keneged the dalad l'shoynes shel geula. Vayitzesi v'yitzalti v'goalti v'lokachti. And, you know, we might take that just as, well, four l'shoynes shel geula, four corners of tzitzis, four cups of wine on the Seder, and just take it as some symbolic thing. But the truth of the matter is, there's clearly an indication of some significant meaning. And on a very simple psychological level, it seems that unless we break down into specific details the message that we want to convey, that message won't be conveyed. If we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yitzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lochem Lelukim, that says it all. But to really have the full impact of what it means to have a shibud based on Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have to realize, maybe as the Sipunu says, Vahitzesi was the Hafsoka, so Hashibud, they didn't have to work after Rosh Hashanah, Vahitzalti was the leaving Mitzrayim, Vigoalti was the Yamsuf, where they saw their oppressors drowning, and Vilokachti was Maimon Har Sinai. And only when we break it down into its component parts can it really have a Hashpah. Otherwise, it's like a statistic. Statistics we don't relate to. We relate to pictures, not statistics. And therefore, I thought just for a few moments to mention some of what, from a very personal connection, and actually my connection with Rabbi Hamster, Zecharon Levrocha, goes back 50 years, please. No, don't say that. but that's what I was going to say too. So it's quite a distance and quite a perspective. And I'd like to just share a few thoughts. Not the least of which that Rabbi Yaakov mentioned before was that his advice was critical. Always on the mark. Always insightful and in depth. With a clarity that rarely do we find. I remember that shortly after the Ptira, we were discussing about maybe it had to do with the Shloshim or something that we wanted to do. And I remember distinctly telling myself, I have to ask Rabbi Amster. I mean, it was like, it was real. For a moment, like I had forgotten what's going on here. And because that was his opinion carried so much weight. The Yashrus, the balanced opinion, the ability to envision something beyond the personal negias, beyond what's good for me, what's easy for me, but just, you know, what is the te'eles and what is the good for the rabbim and what is the yashrus. And it was just an amazing sense of pikhus. And the pikhus wasn't only in understanding communal issues and what should be done, but it was understanding each and every individual as well. There was a certain insight into a person, whether it was from the moment that they came for a faher, where he was able to judge where this person was holding and what shir he belonged and what we're really dealing with and how I was fooling myself in the first meeting and when I wanted to see things that weren't really there. He was right there on the mark all the time. It was not shy. It was something that was just uncanny that had that deep insight. But there's something else which I think is very, very critical. He had a keen sense of the Mesorah that he received from the Rosh Yeshiva. But a sense of truly understanding what Mesorah was. It wasn't repeating, it wasn't just mimicking, but it was internalizing a sense of values and principles and being able to apply them to situations as they came up. And it was so beautiful because it was the ultimate loyalty to the Mesorah with the ultimate wisdom to be able to apply it beyond the confines of just copying actions or words or what seems to be precedents that have to be applied to new situations. And that was something I think that was such a critical ingredient, because the truth is, that Mesorah only survives when it becomes applicable and applicable to the new generation, to the new issues, to the new problems. It couldn't, it didn't, and it won't survive if it's just as it is without the broader insight or depth of insight to be able to apply it to situations as they arise. I think that Rabbi Amster, Zichrono Livrocha, also had an uncanny knack of understanding what was going in, what was going on in the mind of a Talmud. The shir, from what I was never in his shir, but just from seeing what was going on and from hearing over the years, was able to, as literally as the Rosh Yeshiva used to say over from his father, to creep into the brain of the individual who he was interacting with and seeing what was going on there and trying to straighten things out so he would get it clear, so he would get it right, so he wouldn't be confused. And the critical ingredient was to understanding what was confusing him. Because if he didn't understand what was confusing him, then he really couldn't help him straighten things out. And I think he had a unique talent in that area. There was also a lot of excitement in the shir. Sometimes we would hear him scream and we thought that some tragedy was taking place because the bellowing sound of but it was all part of the system, part of the act, part of the excitement, part of the engagement to really draw the Talmidim in and to maximize their learning experience. And the truth of the matter is that for so many, he was the one who really laid that foundation for them to be able to continue learning, to be able to understand learning, to be able to think logically with Yashrus and with some sense of clarity, which of course is the ultimate, the most important gifts that a person could have. And on a personal level, I don't know if everybody can appreciate this, Myla. I got along very well with him. He had the unusual ability to know what he should do on his own and what he should talk about just to cover his bases, so to speak. And it was amazing how he knew. And to me, that was a tremendous gift, because for a person to do on his own is very important. Number one, it's very important for him, and it's very important for the Moisid, and it's very important for me, so that I shouldn't have to be involved in every detail. On the other hand, he knew exactly where there might be a problem. I guess he was able to get into everybody's mind and thinking, not only his Talmidim's, and he knew what he had to talk about and what he didn't have to talk about. And what, it was just an amazing sense of getting the reality of what surrounded him and being able to navigate it appropriately. And I think that there was something else too, which forgive me for the comparison because it doesn't really fit. But I must share this with you. I heard this Shabbos at a bar mitzvah, an einikel of Rav Schwab Zichrono Livrocha, who discussed the Shabbos that Rav Schwab spent with the Chofetz Chaim as a young yeshiva bocher, and it happened to be, he said, it was this parsha Shlach. He says he heard the Chofetz Chaim being mavid the sedra, saying the psukim and teaching it in Yiddish like a little cheder yingle. And he was very taken or surprised or shocked, like what the Chofetz Chaim, the great Chofetz Chaim, saying Vayomer Hashem and Hashem ot gizok, like mamish, like a cheder yingle. So he asked Talmidim in the yeshiva what was going on. So they explained to him that the Chofetz Chaim would often want to reenact his youth to be able to connect with that emuna pshuta that he had as a little yingle. Imagine that, the giant, the Chofetz Chaim, feeling the need to go back to almost to relive his kinder shayorn when he was a little child, just to be able to connect with that emunah pshuta. And I think that for me, I know that Rabbi Amster, Zichrono Livrocha, was that solid foundation of that emunah pshuta. Everything to him, the chashivus haTorah, was paramount and was not questionable, and this was not compromisable, and was like just the ultimate reality. And so too everything else, and Ashkochas Hashem, and Ashkocha Protis, and accepting everything that takes place in life, and understanding Kol Mada Ovar Rachmon LaTavid. What Chazal said were to him the poshet to reality. And I think that was something that to all of us has always been, and I think that memory will continue to be inspiring. We're very grateful to have had this opportunity for too few, but so many years to benefit from his wisdom and his dedication and his insight and his guidance. And we certainly sorely miss that opportunity in the present, and we certainly hope that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will bring great aliyah and schus to his neshama, and that he should continue to have influence, not only a positive influence on his own family, but on yeshiva and all of his talmidim. Yehi zichroi boruch. I would just like this plaque is going to be hung in the shiur room, and just like to read it here for you. It's the Rav Yosef Amster Zatzal shiur room, Zecha Nishmas Rav Yosef Chaim Ben Meir, dedicated in appreciation of 18 years of devotion to the yeshiva and his talmidim. In his role as mashgiach and rebbe, he guided and nurtured talmidim with great wisdom and care. He had an uncanny ability to understand his Talmidim and develop their thinking and comprehension of Torah and Musar with incredible skill and endless patience. Tehei nishmosa yitzrura b'tzorah chayim.
After benching, Rabbi Shminman was supposed to be giving a shir in Rabbi Amster's shir room, but unfortunately, he had to attend a levaya this morning. He's not able to be here. But Rabbi Cohen's going to give a shir on the same armakomos that you prepared, if you prepared, immediately following benching. Thank you for coming.